The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And welcome to the second hour inside the Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. And we step into our segment called See the Difference with Dalton Brown Optometrist today. And we welcome once again Miss Andrea Carter and Miss Regan Prosper. And also Miss Tilak. Is Miss Tilak with us this morning?
No, Miss Tilak is not here, but Miss Dalton Brown is here this morning.
Good morning, Miss Dalton Brown. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM and See the Difference. So we have our first question. What is Healthy Aging Month?
Well, September is the month which is designated to healthy aging. It's a month where we actually consider the aging process because there are many changes that happen in the body as we get older, and including the eyes. And this does not mean that we need to sort of feel that we're going to deteriorate gradually and lose our sight. There are a lot of things that we can do to sort of prevent and delay the onset of any problems. So the aim of this month is to actually raise that awareness to the different signs and the symptoms that are associated with the aging eye, and then also to advise on the necessary steps that we can take to protect our vision, to delay the onset of the aging process.
And what are some of the symptoms of an aging eye?
So one of the definite symptoms that, you know, a lot of people talk about is the trouble with seeing fine print. You know, around the age of, you know, in our late 30s, early 40s, we start to notice that we have to hold things at a further distance, and people tend to have trouble reading the fine print. That's one of the first and most common signs of the aging eye. Other signs are we tend to get drier eyes, especially in women as we get older. We may notice floaters in our vision, or we may even have a difficulty in making out people's faces at a distance. There may be an onset of flashing lights. You can also experience cloudy vision. Other symptoms might be where we may feel a little bit more sensitivity to glare and light, especially like night driving might become more of a problem. We may also feel that our color vision, our ability to be able to discern different colors, becomes a little bit more difficult as we get older. And another symptom might be that we tend to have a difficulty seeing things at the side, or we might tend to bump into things as we're walking through a doorway or along a corridor into a room or something like that. So these are the most common symptoms that we would experience as we get older.
Now, you mentioned the word floaters. Can you describe what exactly that is? Because that word is used for other things. Just to be clear on what that is.
Yes, well, a floater actually can happen really at any age, to be honest. But it does tend to be something that tends to happen a little bit more as we get older. And basically, it is a phenomena that happens that we see where the cells in the vitreous, which is the fluid, the jelly in the back of the eye, are floating around in that jelly. And when we look up, we actually can see these cells, and they look like little floating tadpoles or spider webs. And people just see them floating down across their vision, especially if you're looking against a bright background or something like that. And the truth is that a lot of people probably do have floaters, but it's only when you're in a certain situation that they're highlighted and you might suddenly spot them. And when you do spot them, then you tend to kind of play with it and look for them.
And you could never actually catch it. So you realize you're looking and you just can't catch these floaters.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, interesting. That might freak out some people, things in the eye and you can't get to it, but interesting.
Yeah.
What do those symptoms indicate?
Right, well, the different symptoms that we highlighted would indicate maybe the signs of an early cataract. And this is one of the things that most people have heard about as we get older. And glaucoma is another eye disease. And a lot of us get mixed up between the cataract and the glaucoma. The glaucoma is the one where we use the eye drops, whereas the cataract is the one where you actually have surgery to ultimately correct the vision. Then we have what's called age-related macular degeneration, and that is a type of aging that causes it more it becomes more difficult to make out people's faces and see things for reading and things like that. Also, if you're diabetic, if it is that your diabetes is not controlled, you could end up with something called diabetic retinopathy, which means that you have the bleeding in the back of the eye. If it is that you are highly short-sighted, you could end up with a retinal detachment. Could be that you have dry eyes, or could simply mean that you have presbyopia, you know, and that's where we talked about the trouble with the fine print.
And just in case, listeners, if you have any questions on the information that you're receiving today, you can call 625-2257 and, of course, send a message to 306-1065. And the idea of bleeding behind the eye, is that something that you can detect? Is it that you feel a change of pressure, or does it come forward to the front of the eye? How can you tell?
Right. So the patient themselves don't actually know often that there's bleeding in the back of the eye. This is something that we pick up in an eye examination. And this is why it's really critical to have your eyes examined regularly, especially if you're diabetic. Diabetic patients are predisposed to having bleeding in the back of the eye. And therefore, with our diabetic patients, we strongly advise that they have their eyes tested every year. And these are some of the signs that we look for to make sure that there's no changes in the back of the eye, make sure that there's no bleeding, so that their diabetes, therefore, needs to be managed well.
I also heard you mentioned bleeding at the front of the eyes. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get bleeding at the front of the eyes, and it's caused by different things. So we know that to be a subconjunctival hemorrhage. So sometimes a blood vessel can burst at the front of the eyes, causing the bleeding. So maybe you have high blood pressure, it could cause that to happen spontaneously, or you sneeze too much and it could cause the blood vessel to burst. But it's not linked. The front of the eyes, the bleeding at the front is not linked to the bleeding at the back of the eyes.
Right, yes.
So that's a different symptom altogether.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We just got a call, 625-2257. Let's say good morning. Hello, good morning. Sorry, we lost that one. But if you want to try again, you can. Or send your question to 306-1065. They called back. Hold on. Hello, good morning.
Hey, morning. It's a Bryce here. I wanted to talk about the floaters. I am for the past 2 years now. What can I do to prevent or to get rid of it?
Interesting question. Did you hear?
Yes. So actually, I myself get floaters as well. So it's not uncommon to get floaters, but what we have to look out for is the increase in floaters. So if you have your usual friends, your few friends that you see regularly, it's quite normal. Now, let's say one day you notice that you're seeing a lot more than you usually see, or you start noticing some flashes in your vision, then that should be alarming. But what you can do, if you are seeing the floaters, you should still get your eyes checked to ensure that there's no changes to the back of the eyes causing the floaters, and it's just your normal set of floaters that I myself get.
Okay, and previously we mentioned the word presbyopia. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, presbyopia.
Presbyopia. What is that? Can you describe what it is?
Sure. So I actually really enjoy defining presbyopia, because a lot of the times I get patients and they come in and they're like, I can't see fine prints. I'm losing my vision. And then by the end of the visit, they're like, oh, okay, so it's normal. So what exactly is presbyopia? So presbyopia is an eye condition where your eye slowly loses its ability to focus on things that are close up. So it's actually a normal part of the aging process. So in other words, as you get older, this is something that you can't get away from. Yes, some people might say, I can see, I am 45, I can still see things close up. But when you come for an eye exam and we show you the difference that you can see with a prescription glasses, you are okay, yeah, I think I need a little help there. So let's talk a little bit about the mechanism in which we see. So light enters through the eyes and it first passes the front surface of our eyes, which is our cornea. That's a clear surface. After it passes the cornea, it goes through our pupil And the iris, which is the colored part in our eyes, it controls how much light goes through the pupil. After that pupil, it goes through the lens. Now, naturally, once the lens is healthy, it's able to change shape to allow us to see things better. So change shape to focus the light to the back of the eyes. But when we get older, it starts to get less elastic. So it's unable to change focus as well as it used to, causing things to be a little bit blurrier or harder for us to focus on things that are close up due to that natural change in the elasticity of that lens. So this is why you might have the eye strain, or you get headaches after doing near work, or you find that you're pushing your hand further back to focus, but you're just not getting it. All of those are symptoms of that presbyopia, and it should prompt you to get your eyes tested.
Or changing the angle a little bit, or tilting your head to see if...
We're trying to find the light, you know, the light becomes more important as we get older.
Yeah, you want brighter lights.
Oh, boy. It's 15 minutes after 10 o'clock. Continue with your calls and messages at 3061065. We have a caller. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, Ms. Martinez, and your guests.
Good morning.
Yes, okay. Well, just for my garden, I'm 70 years old, to the doctors there. I am scheduled to do cataract surgery on my right eye, which is about 60%. The eye doctors are saying it's cataract. But I exercise a lot. Like I was in my garden from 6 to now, just now there, and I sweat, you know, a lot. And I'm a total vegetarian. I eat lots of carrots and things to improve your eyesight and so on. And I am finding that I am seeing, well, I wear single vision, right? But from the prescription glasses. And I am observing that I'm seeing more clearer than clearer. But the major problem that I'm having is that, you see, when you get up on a rainy, gloomy morning, the glare, like I take my left hand and I put it over my eyes, and when I block off the glare, right, I see very good, right? Short vision, long distance, anywhere. But the major problem that I'm having right now is not so much the cataract, but this glare that I'm seeing. And would you say that if I go to transition, if that will take care of that problem? I'll listen off your tongue.
Thank you so much for your call and your question.
Right. So the thing with a cataract is that it does make us more sensitive to glare. And the reason is that lens that's inside the eye becomes opaque, and the light cannot get through the lens in the eye as it did when we were younger. So what happens is that the light is scattered all over. So when we have a sort of an overcast day, then the light that gets into the eye causes what we call disability glare. So one of the classic symptoms of patients who have cataracts is that they have a problem with the glare and the light. So the challenge is that even though he has a healthy lifestyle and he's very active, the truth is that as we age, our bodies do age. And one of the aging symptoms within the eye is the development of a cataract. So when that cataract is treated and the patient no longer has that scattering of light, and he will get an implant in the eye, then the vision will be like looking through a clear window again. Right now he's looking through a frosted window, and he's not able to get the detail on vision consistently. And that's the other thing with cataracts, it tends to make your vision fluctuate a little bit. But once the cataract is managed and treated, then it'll be like looking through a clear window, and he'll have the consistent vision that he used to have before. So I would strongly suggest that he goes through with the procedure to have the cataract managed.
Just to also add to that, he did mention that he is in the garden a lot. So I'm guessing he is exposed to the sun, and too much exposure to the sunlight also increases the growth of the cataract. So you want to try to protect your eyes from the sun as much as possible.
Right, which is why he probably mentioned the transition lenses. But at this stage, the transition lenses really will not help. But earlier, you know, as we're in our youth growing up, it is important to wear UV protection, wearing wide-brimmed hats, and transition lenses will help to delay the onset of the cataract.
Mm-hmm. So if he actually decides to not do the surgery, the cataract will progress. So it's something that will progress as you get older. So the ophthalmologist would have probably assessed the risks and decided that it may have been best to do it sooner rather than later.
So basically, all of these symptoms, once you catch them and once you find these little problems coming up, you have to get your eyes tested so that, as they say, prevention is better than cure.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right. Did we describe how presbyopia is treated?
No, we actually didn't, but I could touch on that a bit now. So we talked about the prescription glasses. So you have different options, different lenses. So you can do a reading glasses. Now, I usually would advise the reading glasses for persons who have perfect distance vision and hardly ever do close tasks, because you would have to keep taking off and on the glasses to read. But then we have better options, which would allow you to keep your glasses on all the time. So we have a bifocal lens, which you may have noticed that some persons have a little line or a segment on their lens. That is called a bifocal. So above the line, you'll be able to see things that are far away, and right below the line, you'll be able to read. Then we have a progressive lens. So the progressive lens has no line, and you're able to see things that are far away, things that are arm's length away, that are just below eye level, like a computer. And then the bottom of that lens is for reading, and there's no line. So some persons, they actually prefer no line, and that is for cosmetic reasons, and then based on your job. So if you use computers a lot, you would definitely need a progressive lens. Then we have contact lenses. So let's say that you're someone who just don't like glasses, or for ladies, you like to do your makeup, but you're having a little problem with the fine print and you want to be able to go to the restaurant and read that menu. You can do contact lenses and you'll be able to get correction for close-up, and if you need the distance, you can get a special type of lens which will correct you for the both.
Is it possible to have an eye condition without any symptoms?
Absolutely. So there are many eye conditions that are asymptomatic, so it doesn't affect your vision in the early stages. So let's take glaucoma, for instance. So we all know glaucoma to be a progressive condition, but in its early stages, it actually does not affect the vision at all. So this is why we actually suggest getting your eyes tested regularly, so that we can pick up those changes before you can. So it is possible for you to have 20/20 vision and still have glaucoma. Then we have things like diabetic retinopathy or age-related macular degeneration that usually don't show any symptoms or don't affect the vision in its early stages. So what we want to do is pick up these things early so we can get early management and preserve your vision.
And how are age-related eye problems diagnosed?
Okay, great question, Ms. Carter. You want to take that?
Sure. So any sort of age-related changes can be detected during a routine comprehensive eye exam. Further testing can be performed, such as something called a dilated fundus exam. Now, during that exam, we usually place some drops into the patient's eyes. These drops tends to blur the vision for a couple of hours, so we want to try to maybe arrange transport on that day, so we just have to avoid the driving. With the drops, it allows us to see a wider view at the back of the eyes. It is highly recommended for anyone that's over 50 or anyone who suffers from any sort of systemic conditions, be it diabetes and hypertension. An OCT exam can also be performed. So with this, we usually put the patient on the machine and it takes a series of scans or pictures. And these scans allows us to assess the layers behind the eyes to allow for easier detection of any eye health problems. Now, after this test, not all changes that we observe during the exam needs to be referred. However, we will be able to guide the patient accordingly depending on the results we obtain after all these tests.
I have another question. It's a bit off topic, but it was sent by via WhatsApp. Can you explain what having scars behind the eyes are and how serious is it?
Well, I guess, you know, the scars behind the eyes. So I'm just wondering if they're talking about retinal scars, maybe due to laser treatment. And this could affect the vision because it would actually affect the visual receptors. And so I'm not really sure exactly what kind of scars, but if it affects the visual receptors, that means there's going to be little areas where the eye is not functioning, so tiny little blind spots in the vision. Now, because we have both eyes, then our vision sort of overlaps, and that kind of masks any small little scars that might be happening in each eye. But if there are multiple scars, then you might have areas of what we call scotoma, where there's just little areas of darkness and pieces missing in the vision. So depending on what kind of scars, it can be cause a significant impairment to the vision, or if it's just mild, then maybe not.
Mm-hmm. And when should I seek emergency care? But before you answer that, let me remind listeners that you can send in your messages, your questions at 3061065, and call us as well, 625-2257. We've got a couple more minutes to take in those questions, and I'll repeat the question again. When should I seek emergency care?
Well, before we go on to that, I wanted to actually talk about, you know, how we could prevent age-related eye problems. Ms. Carter, do you want to go into
that?
Sure,
yeah. So we can't usually prevent the age-related problems, but there are certain steps we can take to delay certain eye conditions. So we can't stress this enough. Try to have your regular eye exams. It's very important as it allows us to track both your vision and your eye health over the years. We want to make sure to have knowledge on your family history. So if you have any family history of certain eye conditions, then you're more at risk of developing it as well. We want to try to wear your prescription glasses as prescribed by your optometrist or ophthalmologist to prevent any sort of eye strain. Those who suffer from diabetes, high blood pressure, all those things, you want to try to stay consistent with taking your medication as prescribed by your doctor. We also want to maintain a balanced diet, as well as a diet rich in green and leafy vegetables. We want to make sure we're getting those vitamins such as vitamin A, vitamin C, and vitamin E. Now, there are also vitamin supplements that are available that can actually help as well. Another important vitamin would be something called lutein, which is also readily available in the supplements. And the purpose of it is really to delay the onset of macular degeneration. So it's very important to have that in your system as well. We want to ensure that we are exercising regularly. If we do smoke, we want to try to stop the smoking or also avoid secondhand smoking. And as mentioned before, we want to try to protect our eyes from the sun. Too much exposure from the sunlight or the UV rays would cause an increased risk of cataract growth as well.
And we have a
I just imagine, sorry, the gentleman who called earlier sort of indicated that he had a very healthy lifestyle. So we just want to point out that these are things that we can do to delay the onset, but it's not going to prevent it ultimately because we know as we live, we will age. Mm-hmm.
So his healthy lifestyle would actually slow the risk of diabetes. So that is actually in itself a good thing. So you're going to have a lower risk of developing any changes to the eyes due to diabetes.
All right. I saw a caller coming in. You can call back at 625-257. And we can return to our question. When should I seek emergency care?
So you should seek emergency care if you do experience any of the symptoms, such as sudden vision loss. So let's say you wake up one day and you realize you're not seeing through one eye or both of the eyes. You want to get that checked out as soon as possible. A sudden onset of double vision. So you realize you're looking at something and you're seeing two of it. Any eye injury, sudden eye pain, as well as sudden onset of new floaters or flashes of lights. Like what Ms. Prosper would have mentioned before, we want to just try to monitor if it is increasing in number and size, as well as you are experiencing flashes of light. You need to get it checked out as soon as possible.
Or a shadow in your vision. So you notice one, you're getting the flashes and you also like a shadow or a curtain in your vision. All of these things should prompt you to go straight to the hospital through accident and emergency, because you can have something going on with the eyes that require emergency care.
All right, let's take one call before we go into our last question. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, and good morning to the doctor. Yes. I am dosing with piece of my eye. One of the eye, right? But this eye running to all kind of problems. Diabetes, pressure, whatever, thing, right? And I also went to all different eye specialists. I even in the hospital eye clinic. But one of the problems is the eye drop they're giving me, and the eye keep things, I cannot see study coming out of the eye. And no matter what eye drop I use, it ain't getting better. Especially in the night when you see again, you know, your eyes stick up, all kind of thing, hard between the ear and things, you know?
Thanks so much for your call. Did you all hear the question?
We got pieces of it. So I'm trying to understand. So he's using drops.
Yeah, and there seemed to be a discharge, a kind of pinkish discharge that comes out in his eye that makes it crusty. So he says no matter what type of eye drops he's using, it seems to occur. I would have been at the doctor already, but, you know.
Yes. So different things could actually cause crusting in the eyes. So based on this, he is linking it with the drops. I can get crusting because of an infection in the eyes. So it's definitely important that you, if you're having something different happening to the eyes, that you see an eye care specialist to ensure that it's normal. So let's say it's actually the drops causing the crusting, because it's not the first time that I've actually heard that happening. So what you have to do, because you have to use the drops, is you can practice lid hygiene. So what you can do is, we usually suggest maybe baby shampoo. You can put a few drops in a cup of water and then use a Q-tip to clean that lid margin and those lashes to take out the crust. So you can get that maybe, I don't know, different stores that sell that. So you don't want something that's soapy that you're putting in the eyes. You're just trying to clean that. And you may even use a warm compress to help drain out any blockages that could cause that crusting in the eyes. So we'll usually do the warm compress for about 10 minutes. And then you can do the lid hygiene, which is the little mixture with the Q-tip to clean up what was drained out there. Now, if you're still unsure as to what's going on with the eyes, if you find that it's still bothersome to you, you can book an eye exam or you can go straight back to your doctor to see if there's anything that can be done, if your drops need to change, or if you are having some sort of an infection or adverse reaction to your drops.
Okay, and finally, do you have any final tips for our listeners, as we did speak about presbyopia and aging of the eye?
Yes, well, I mean, our final tip really is that we need to be aware about what is happening with our eyes. And the best way that that can happen is by having regular eye examinations, because many things can be easily addressed and easily managed. So rather than living in fear and worried about things that are easily managed, it's such a good idea to come in and have your eyes tested regularly. And once you do have your eyes tested regularly, if there are any deviations from your norm, then we can advise you exactly what is best to do before things become too complicated or too difficult to manage. So that would be the best tip, would be to have your eyes tested regularly. And also, of course, having a very healthy lifestyle, you know, stop smoking, avoid secondhand smoke, you know, wearing lenses that will protect your eyes, know your family history, know what you might be predisposed to genetically because of your family history. That is always a great information for us when you come in. So it means that we can advise you as to how to manage your eye care and your eye health.
And what do you have to do to make appointments at the optometrist, and where are you located?
So we are Dalton Brown Optometrists, and we are located at the corner of Queen and Sorzano Streets, Arima. Our contact number is 667-3115 or WhatsApp 299-3115.
Thank you so much for joining us today inside this edition of See the Difference. Let's hope we see each other again next week.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.